Welcome to today's broadcast, The Beauty of Grace. I'm Dr. Pete Norris of Harvest Fellowship Church, Goldsboro, North Carolina. Today's message, I'd like to talk to you about no more consciousness of sin. And so a lot of people are living in condemnation and guilt because they haven't understood that their conscience needs to be cleared of sin. We need to stop thinking so much about sin and begin to think about the righteousness of God, that His sacrifice has completely freed us from sin. Now I want you to go with me on a little journey. I want to take you on a little trip. And that trip I want to take you on today is that under the old covenant, you would bring a lamb to the priest. And the priest would search the lamb for any blemishes, any spots, any wrinkles. And if he didn't find any blemishes in the lamb, then the person was okay that brought the lamb. Now I want to ask you something today. Did the priest check the lamb or did he check the person? Well, we know from Scripture that he checked the lamb and did not check the person. Now, John said, "Behold the Lamb of God that's going to take away the sin of the world," in John 1:29. So, Jesus was our lamb. So, when God checked the lamb, he checked Jesus, which didn't have a spot, didn't have a wrinkle, didn't have a blemish. So, God's not going to check you. He checked the lamb. And if the lamb was okay, then you and I was okay. So, next time you want to think you're a failure, and has God accepted me? Here's what the question you need to ask. Has God accepted Jesus? Because if God has accepted Jesus, then I'm good. So I want to show you something here in Luke chapter 7, verse 37 through 39. "And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table of the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrance of oil. Now when the Pharisees," the church folks, "who had invited him, saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she's a sinner.'" Now here's a woman that was a sinner, possibly a prostitute. "And she came in and began to wash his feet. She began to weep and cry before him and anoint him. She came running out of the room, riding out off the street, and began to do this." Now, can you imagine the scribes and the Pharisees begin to look around and say, "Look, you know, this woman's a sinner. This man can't be a prophet, or he wouldn't let this woman be washing his feet." But see, it wasn't about any of that. He was showing mercy and he was showing grace. And then he turns to the woman in Luke chapter 7, verse 48, and he says this. "And he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Now, if you'll notice, she didn't even ask for her sins to be forgiven. All she did was just come to him and wash his feet and stood before him, tears weeping down her face. And she, matter of fact, didn't even say anything to him much. But I want you to understand what he did. He began to tell her, "Your sins are forgiven." And she didn't even ask for her sins to be forgiven. So we got a great revelation here that's been taken out of context in the Scriptures, because the Bible says in Titus chapter 2, 11 through 12, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." So he said the grace of God is going to appear to all people. It's going to bring salvation to all men. And also, it's going to teach us how to walk godly and how to walk in the ways of the things of the Spirit. It's not going to open up the door that we can just keep on sinning and doing whatever we wanted to under this message of grace. This woman was lost. She was a sinner. The Bible is very plain about that. She came in, began to anoint his feet, and began to wash his feet with her tears and wipe them with the hair of her head. Now, you got to understand something. A woman couldn't take her hair down in public. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now, when this Pharisees had invited, saw this, they began to murmur in themselves and say, "Look, if this man was really a prophet, he would know what kind of Jezebel this is." But you notice, Jesus didn't do that. He said, "Honey, your sins are forgiven." They were all tore up. Can you see somebody coming into your church on Sunday morning and it's a prostitute? She takes off the preacher's shoes and begins to wash his feet. What would everybody think in the church? But see, Jesus didn't do what everybody thought he should do. He did only what the Father told him to do. And so we see here that we need to get away from this consciousness of sin and begin to live in the freedom of who we are in Christ and enjoy that personal, intimate relationships with Jesus that brings us to a place of freedom, that brings us to a place of obedience. Because in the Spirit, there's life, and there's no more conscious of sin. If you're spending all of your time every day confessing all your sins over and over and over, and I do want to throw one thing out, and I'm going to do a little teaching a little later on in the week about this, but I want you to understand today that the word confession in the actual Hebrew, Greek text is two words, and it means homo logo, which homo means the same, and logo means the word. In other words, say the same thing about your sin as he said about your sin. What has he said about your sin? They're gone. They're cast as far as the east is to be west, to be remembered no more. He didn't say tell everybody all your problems and everything you've done wrong, and every time you miss it, confess to him that you had missed it. No, you don't confess to him so you can be forgiven. You tell him, you thank him that he's already forgiven you, because when you ask him, he's forgiven you of all your sins, past, present, and future. What a wonderful thing to know that you and I have no more conscience of sin in our lives, and we have no more guilt of sin, that we're absolutely righteous. The ability to stand in the presence of the Father or in the presence of the devil without any condemnation, guilt, and as though we had never sinned. See, this is the wonderful thing about this beauty of grace. God bless you, and we love you.